I'd like to call the May 23rd meeting of the Architecture Review Committee of the View Parade Commission to order. Notice 1 o'clock. Would the director please read the roll to establish a quorum?
Yes, Rick Byfield.
Present.
Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
Tony DiMascio, absent. We have 2 members constituting a quorum.
Thank you. We're going to start with old business and ask if there's an applicant available for 909 Ursuline. There is. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 909 Ursuline is a green-rated main building with an unrated two-story rear addition. This is a proposal to modify landscaping, install new patio, new fountains, and replacement pins and gates. Per application, materials received March 14th, 2023 and May 3rd, 2023, respectively. The proposal has been revised to simplify some of the more decorative elements of the proposal following committee review on 425 as follows. Both the driveway gate and the pedestrian gate are now solid panel wood instead of also including cast iron panels. Staff finds the driveway gate appropriate, but notes that the single pedestrian gate includes a center astragal to simulate French doors. Since French doors in this location would be highly atypical and gates this narrow in the French Quarter are rarely two leaves, staff recommends the gate be revised to appear as a single leaf, not two. The steps leading to the house are now shown as brick risers with flagstone treads. The plinths are stuccoed on sides and have flagstone coping. The large urns have been eliminated. Staff finds these changes to be more appropriate for the age and style of the building and its materials. The gas fixtures mounted to the front property line fence have been eliminated, and the proposed paving pattern is more typical of the quarter and are less grand at their borders. Staff finds the proposed work approvable, with construction documents to be submitted for final review at staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Renee Franson, landscape architect. My address of home is 1026 Esplanade. I'm here for 909 Ursuline.
Thank you. Will you speak?
And I'm Fleming Etheridge.
Okay, thank you. And you are the contractor for the project?
I work for Franson Mills.
Okay, great. Would you like to make a presentation or to respond to the staff report?
Our presentation is we're redoing
You don't need to feel obliged to make a presentation.
Okay.
If there's nothing to add to the staff report. The only thing that they brought into question was
if y'all have any questions, I'm here to answer.
Yeah, I think I agree with the staff about the design of the passage gate off the street, making it just appear to be one single leaf rather than faked two leaves.
Right.
I think that's the only comment that I picked up on as being important.
Yes, mm-hmm. Really the center style of the upper portion of the gate that needs to be modified.
And you can work with the staff on that design.
Right.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? Seeing no public comment, committee, any other comments or questions for the applicant or for the staff? No? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion in this matter?
I don't.
Okay. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. We're all in agreement, I think. Is there a motion in the matter of 909 Ursuline?
Yes, in the matter of 909 Ursuline, I move to approve the proposed work with the proviso that the pedestrian gate be revised per staff comment and final construction documents to be submitted to staff for final review.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, the next item is 400 North Peters. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 400 North Peters is an orange-rated building. It is a proposal to renovate the building, include installation of a new roof with modifications, installation of new windows and river elevation, modifications to an existing entry gate. Application materials received March 28, 2023. This application was deferred at the April 11, 2023 committee meeting, primarily over concerns regarding the proposed replacement of existing wood windows on North Peters and River elevations with new metal windows. The applicant has submitted additional details and information regarding this aspect of the proposal. New section drawings have been provided for both the existing and proposed windows. Notable differences between the two, besides the major change of materials, include profile and height changes at the head and sill. At the head, the wood window trim of the existing is shown as being recessed back 3 inches from the exterior surface of the stucco. The trim is noted as being 4 inches tall and is a simple square piece of trim. An additional 3 inches back from this trim is the window sash. On the proposed head detail, the frame is shown set back 4 inches from the stucco and then goes through a series of steps and bevels to reach the window sash. The overall height of the existing head detail above the glass is approximately 6 inches. In the proposed, it appears to be 5 3/4 inches tall, raising the top of the glazing by about 1/4 inch. Similar details are observed at the sill, where the existing sash sits directly on the wood sill, which sits directly on the exterior stucco. In the proposed condition, it appears that a metal frame would step up twice from the exterior stucco before reaching the sash. This added frame appears to shrink the bottom of the window by about 1 3/4 inches. Combined with the head detail, it appears the proposed glazing would be about 1.5 inches shorter than the existing. At the jamb, the existing wood detail is nearly identical to the detail seen at the head. In the proposed jamb detail, the metal frame again steps to the sash, similar to the proposed head detail. The proposed jamb detail is about 1/4 inch narrower than the existing, making the glazing about 1/2 inch wider. This small difference in dimension would likely not be readily perceivable from distance. The step metal frame around the window and the minor dimension changes at the head and sill may begin to appear more cluttered compared to the existing simple detailing. The applicant also submitted a letter with references to NPS publications, including Preservation Brief 9. A total of 7 points are made in the letter based off various sections of these publications. The points include that in areas with code requirements in response to severe weather conditions, replacement of historic windows will not be dependent on documentation of deterioration. Other points noted in the letter from the publications include the replacement windows should fill the original openings, that the size and profile of the sill becomes less important because of typical sight lines, and that replacement windows should match pattern, proportions, configuration, Munton profiles, glass characteristics, and associated details. Staff looked up the various reference publications and noted some other points made in those documents. In the replacement windows that meet the standard document under the section, how accurate does the match need to be, it states replacement windows are on primary, street-facing, or any highly visible elevations of buildings of 3 stories or less must match the historic windows in all their details and in material, wood for wood and metal for metal. As one elevation is the street-facing elevation and the other is still highly visible, staff did not find that this requirement would be met. The document also notes under materials and finish, while it may be theoretically possible to match all the significant characteristics of a historic window in a substitute material, in actuality, finish, profiles, dimensions, and details are all affected by a change in material. In addition to the surface characteristics, vinyl clad or enameled aluminum clad windows may have joints in the cladding that can make them look very different from a painted wood window. Secondary window elements that do not match the finish or color of the window can also diminish the match. Examples include white vinyl tracks on dark painted wood windows or wide black glazing baskets on white aluminum windows. In Preservation Brief 9, in addition to the list provided in the letter, the document also notes the importance of looking at the type of wood used in the windows to be replaced. In summary, the NPS documents stress the importance of matching material in replacement windows, and Preservation Brief 9 recommends repair and weatherization of existing wood windows whenever possible. VCC guidelines are closely aligned with the NPS guidelines. In addition to noting that the VCC will only consider the use of an aluminum or aluminum-clad wood window for an orange or brown rated building or new construction, the guidelines also state that the VCC requires matching the original materials in a replacement window and recommends installing a quality wood replacement window. Regarding storm protection, the guidelines note that hurricane-resistant windows tend to have very wide frames and muntins and shallow profiles that do not match historic proportions and are not appropriate for a historic building. As an alternative, the guidelines recommend fabric storm panels as an approvable form of storm protection. Still, staff notes that this is an orange-rated building, and none of these windows are more than 30 years old. Staff requests commentary from the Architecture Committee, but suggests that a metal window that more closely resembles the existing details as noted above would be a better path forward, perhaps with a mock-up to observe the existing and proposed side-by-side in real-world conditions. There appears to be no change to the other aspects of the proposal, and staff maintains the same comments on these aspects as heard in the April 11th report.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the project?
Sure. Michael Poussin with the Burger Company. Represent the owners of the property.
Thank you.
My name is Steve Olson. I'm the architect.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Well, have you read the document that we sent?
We received it about 10 minutes ago, so no, I have not. Okay. But the staff has.
Yeah, it's got our points. I don't necessarily need to go over these. I think the key here is how do you put in and protect the building from storms with the size and the materiality of the existing windows. They're 8 feet by 4 feet, so they're at the absolute limit of any kind of impact-rated system. Wood will never qualify. If we had to change our wood to strengthen the wood, it would change dramatically the proportions of the mullions and the muntins and the crossbars. And so the comment, which is I think a boilerplate comment about how metal windows somehow are bulkier, the windows that we're proposing are either a Quaker product or a WinVent product, WinCo product, both of which have had extensive use in historic buildings, been approved by the National Park Service, and carry the dimensions, these thin mullion and frame dimensions that the existing windows have, something we couldn't achieve in wood. And we are interested in getting the building to a state where it was damaged during the last couple of hurricanes, and getting it to a state where it'll sustain the wind that this particular location, which is pretty dramatic right next to the river, gets. I think the paint is, we brought a sample, and I think if you look at the paint, the argument about the paint being glossy or something like that, this is a matte paint finish. It really does look like a brush painted finish, and you can look at it for yourself and make your own judgment on it. The panning is pretty standard and acceptable from the National Park Service's point of view, and we think it's a good solution to handle the perimeter rather than having to have a painted surface and a pre-painted surface adjacent to one another. There's a whole bunch of references in.
There are a number of options on the panning as well that if staff would like us to investigate that further, we would certainly be open to that.
There are little dimensional differences in the panning. They probably make seven or eight different varieties of that. Our intent is to try to get as close to what the original windows look like, which these are not original. These are replacement windows that are in the building. So let's not confuse this with being real historic windows. In the case of the front and in the case of the back, those windows were put in 1986.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I'm interested in your comments, Rick.
Okay. Well, I think that perhaps the compelling argument here is the exposure of the building to the river and the requirement to meet building code standards for those openings in light of repeated damage. Is that a position that the staff would be comfortable in accepting?
Yes.
Then I think that the applicant has shown that the appearance of the windows will be substantially similar, that the evolution in the appearance of the building will be in material but not necessarily in appearance. So I would tend to agree with the staff recommendation for approval.
Staff's also recommended a mock-up.
Is that something that would be part of your specifications for the work?
It changes the time schedule dramatically, but we do have this sample right here that shows you all of the proportions and size and scale of the thing. The only thing that it isn't is as big as the original.
Does staff get to see that?
Yeah, we can accept that. I mean, we understand that you have some time concerns regarding the season, time of year, and I think that it would be probably advisable to proceed.
Is there any public comment on this proposal? And I'd just like to remind the audience that if you need to fill out a comment card so we have a record of your attendance at the meeting. No public comment. Any final questions or concerns from the committee?
Are we also reviewing the entry gate today?
Is that...
It was on the list.
Part of the plan, but it hasn't changed since the last time. So the previous recommendation on the entry gate was to potentially approvable new system would maintain the rhythm of the openings with the adjacent openings as required by the guidelines. Mm-hmm. But we can certainly come back specifically on that.
Well, we're looking at roof, the awning over that, and the passage gate. But we looked at that at the last meeting, if I remember.
Yeah, so did we already approve the roof?
We did not. We deferred. So we can include that in a motion. It's all.
Oh.
It's all here. Okay. Do you have to say anything before we go to a motion in this matter?
Last time we had indicated that we were going to use a gray roofing material. I think that that was one question that the staff had raised last time. Mm-hmm. And so I think we provided that clarification during last meeting, that that is something that we would use a gray membrane material.
Great, thank you for that clarification. Is there a motion in the matter of 400 North Peters?
Yes, in the matter of 400 North Peters, noting the orange rating of the building and the significant exposure on the river side of the building to wind and storm damage, I move to approve the installation of new windows on that river elevation, approve installation of the roof, and approve modification to the existing entry gate with all final details to be reviewed and approved by the staff.
I'll second that motion. All in favor,
can
say
I say something?
We're windows. Right in the middle of a motion.
The windows on the front are included.
Right. It's all the windows.
All
the windows.
Thanks for that clarification. I've been thinking this is all rear riverside elevation. Is that what the staff report says?
Yeah, it's both the North Peters and the river elevation.
Okay.
That North Peters elevation was significantly demolished and renovated by Jack's back in the 50s, and then was reconstructed in its current condition in the 80s.
Most of the openings on the building on the three sides are doors, wood doors. And those aren't changing. It's just there's a series of 15 windows on the front in North Peters' side that on the second floor that are wood double hung windows. They're very similar to the ones in terms of size, scale, as the ones on the riverside, but they have an arch at the top.
And the Conti and St. Louis elevations, those are also getting new windows?
Those are all doors.
Those are
the only windows on the building are the 15 on the front and 24 on the back.
Got it. Okay.
Does that change your motion?
No, I think when we discussed this last, we were calling into question the remnant that's facing the river and wondering if that had some elevated status. What faces North Peters has been heavily modified and or is completely new. So we were less concerned about that last time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to amend my motion to also include installation of new windows on the North Peters elevation as proposed.
Great. I'll second that amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
We'll move on to new business and ask if the applicant for 813 through 15 Earthline is present. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 813 through 15 Earthline is a green rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to install a new residential generator for application materials received April 28, 2023. The applicant proposes to install a 12-kilowatt Briggs & Stratton residential generator in their courtyard for emergency use. The equipment measures 28 by 24.5 by 37.2 and has a normal operating sound of 70 decibels according to the manufacturer. The site plan is not drawn to scale, but shows the proposed location adjacent to a fish pond between the main building and rear dependency. The applicant submitted a residential generator affidavit stating that the unit will be at least 5 feet from the rear lot line, at least 3 feet from the side lot line, 18 inches minimum clear at rear, 5 foot minimum overhead clear, 30 inches at the front entrance, 5 feet from any window opening, with exhaust not directed towards the house. It is also shown 11 feet from the rear building balcony. When staff visited the site, the owner stated that the proposed location is the only spot in the rear yard that meets all safety requirements for the generator. And while it is visually obtrusive location for the occupants of this property, it will allow them to age into the house, and they are willing to screen it. Staff finds the equipment conceptually approvable, but requests that details for any required generator stand be provided, along with drawings for how the equipment will be screened.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the proposal?
My name is Peter Enerson, E-N-E-R-S-E-N. I live at 7703 Nelson Street in New Orleans. My relationship to the property is I'm essentially the property manager. I facilitate repairs and maintenance and support for the owners.
Great. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
I do not.
Okay. I'd just like to ask the staff, can you require a to-scale site plan be provided as part of the documentation of this?
I can.
Do you think
safety
necessary?
Permits, I think, is requires the affidavit more than anything else. But, yeah, we can require that.
It's just that the plan that was submitted doesn't really have any information particularly. Anyway, any questions for the applicant from the committee?
No questions, but I do agree that putting this into a scale plan could be helpful in terms of addressing any sort of details related to how this thing is situated, sited, you know, what side the exhaust port goes on, and how it gets screened. That sort of the details of that would be important.
Because the screening has not been proposed at this point, it's just been mentioned. Okay, is there any public comment on the proposal for 813-15? Ursuline? No public comment? Would you like to say something before we go to a motion?
I don't have anything to add, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 813-15, Ursuline?
Yes, in the matter of 813-815, Ursulines, I move to conceptually approve the proposed new residential generator with a scale site plan, a two-scale site plan to be submitted to staff for review and approval, including location and extent of screening and screening details.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
You can work with the staff to work out the details. Next items are under appeals and violations, and the first item is 1008 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present? Looks like we do. Do we have a staff report, please?
No, 1008. Right. 1008 Dauphine is a green-rated main building and kitchen with a brown-rated connecting structure and rear addition. This is a review of mock-up for front elevation millwork in conjunction with ongoing renovation. Per application of materials received December 8th, 2020 and May 11th, 2023, respectively. The applicant has modified the mock-up to match the most recent proposal for the lower freeze band and has provided details showing how the millwork will be attached per the committee's 425-23 request. The drawings show the newly applied stucco will be strategically removed in places so drip caps at the freeze and windows can be recessed, while the remainder of the millwork will be screwed into the wall on top of the stucco. The screws are shown countersunk and covered in trim. Having now seen the full proposed mock-up in place, staff finds the size and profiling of the millwork to be a suitable replacement for what was previously existing, since it is similar to, but not attempting to replicate, the historic profiles. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed attachment and any further revisions or modifications that may be needed prior to approval.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation? Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property first?
Jody Carlson, architect. Tanner, Louisiana. Colin Savoy, project manager, Garrison Builders.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the main concerns last time was the attachment of the whole assembly to the wall itself. So what I'm planning to do is to take the marine grade plywood and use Hilti Quick-Con screws and hide those screws behind, like have the trim go in front of those screws. And we'd have the screws at like 12 inches on center, above and below the freeze window openings. And then all of the secondary trim, like the drip cap and whatnot, I was planning on using some 8D finish screws and countersinking them into the wood.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And all the finish work were just conventional.
Okay, we have one public comment requested by Nikki Zielinski.
Hi, Nikki Zielinski, 1011 St. Philip, and French Court Services. I, last time, was what we talked about what the upper part of that building might have looked like, and I wondered if the applicant had done any further research into seeing if perhaps there was once a gutter system up there, since this profile makes absolutely zero sense, as far as the parapet walls. And if they had considered doing this in masonry, would the commission be open to that, since obviously plywood is not what was there originally? Masonry is way cheaper and probably more durable, as somebody lives nearby and concerned that the wood is going to rot in a few years, given how much water's going to be coming out of it.
Does your proposal include a gutter? I'm not seeing it in the drawings.
Yeah, there's always been a gutter there.
I just not seeing it in the drawings.
5 or 6 inch half round gutter.
It's above the freeze band and not really
part
of it.
Yeah,
it's not integrated. I did look more into the documentation. I thought I'd put it in the PowerPoint, and I apologize. I think I copied it over and neglected to put that one image in. But there is a photo of the blue-rated building adjacent to the left-hand side from 1920 that shows that same band at the time. There's nothing to indicate between 1920, 1960, and when it was removed that it was ever changed out. It does appear to have been wood, at least back to that period. It is unusual in its simplicity for a wood freeze band, but there's no indication that it was ever masonry.
Got it. We talked about that during the last meeting. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Question for the staff. Are there still details that need to be worked out with the freeze band windows?
Yes, and I did discuss that with the contractor a little bit on site, and what we talked about, I said I would need revised drawings to be submitted from the architect. That hasn't been done yet, so that may be something that we bring back to you if we're not able to find a solution at staff level.
I've got some details. If you go back a slide.
But we're not seeing an elevation, and my concern was what Colin and I discussed on site was the visibility and reveal of that jam being reduced by the wood from the freeze band, which I think unfortunately might have kind of a Russian nesting doll effect of shrinking the visible glass as well. So we need to see kind of how that would have compared to the original conditions where there was less reveal, but that reveal wasn't taken out of, like that difference wasn't taken away from the percentage of glass that was visible.
Yeah, and I did give them that information after our meeting, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for including that photograph in your presentation. It's helpful in understanding what this building looked like. We've had one public comment. Any other public comments? No. You have to say anything before we go to motion? Is there a motion? And I'll also just mention, I did go out and look at this mock-up, and I think the one detail we want to ensure is that the scoring is erased in the area of the freeze. The square that was installed improperly between the windows. But aside from that.
Rick, I think that's going to be covered up with plywood now.
I know, but as an archaeological record, I think that covering it up means that there won't be a discussion like this 10 years from now when the plywood rots. So, anyway, a motion in the matter of 1008 Dauphine Street.
Yes, in the matter of 1008 Dauphine, I move to conceptually approve the proposed millwork with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
And would you like to include conceptual approval of the replacement sash just to come back?
Yes, and conceptual approval of the replacement sash.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for the mock-up, too. It was very helpful. Okay, next matter is 1030 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present? I think we have an applicant present. We have a staff report, please.
Sure. 1030-332 Dauphine Street is a green-rated main building and service building. There is a note in the description of property that states the 1995 property report states that the structure was substantially rebuilt by the owners in 95 and 96, and the rear of it should be re-rated. This is an appeal to retain outdoor kitchen, HVAC equipment, and fountain, and to install new landscaping and lighting. Per application materials received December 6, 2022, and May 1st, 2023, respectively. The applicant has submitted a revised scope of work and supporting materials following committee deferral on November 9th, 2023, as follows. Six new 6-inch diameter drains are proposed in the courtyard, all located within planter beds. No further changes to the pavers or drainage, which the applicant is appealing to retain. Staff finds this work approvable. The pool and hot tub have been removed from the proposal. A large planter bed is now proposed in the location where the pool is being excavated. Staff finds this approvable. Retention of the fountain was deferred with the applicant to confirm the depth of the fountain, noting that it must not exceed 18 inches in depth in order to comply with the CCO. The applicant has added gravel and stones to the basin, so it is now only 18 inches deep. Staff is unsure if this is sufficient since the material is not permanently installed. If found approvable by zoning, staff finds the fountain conceptually approvable. Retention of the outdoor kitchen was deferred with the safety of the gas lines to be verified by a licensed professional. The applicant has submitted a report from Renee Dotrieve of Dotrieve Plumbing and Heating, stating that he inspected the installation of a gas grill, which was installed per code, and with proper connections and isolation valves. With the proviso that the work must be found code compliant at the mechanical division inspection, staff finds retention of the outdoor kitchen approvable. As part of this, staff finds the brick clad CMU support wall at the property line approvable. Regarding the HVAC equipment, notes on a spec sheet for the older unit dating to the early 2000s states that the sound data could be anywhere between 52 to 77 decibels, normally 72. A spec sheet was submitted for the second unit, but did not note the sound data for the second unit. While the early 2000s unit is louder than would typically be allowed, it may be retained for the duration of its lifespan, considering it's not a brand new unit. Data for the second unit must be submitted. If it is found to be within typical range, this may be handled at staff level. Inappropriate light fixtures and speakers will be removed, and new landscape lighting, which staff finds approvable and within the guidelines, will be installed. Shutters were removed from the rear of the main building at some point, and the applicant is seeking approval to leave them off. Ordinarily, the guidelines require reinstallation of shutters removed without permit. However, the description of property notes that most of the historic fabric at the rear of the building was removed circa 1995 to 96 renovation, where it was also substantially altered, and staff at that time recommended that the rear of the building be downgraded and rated. This downgrading has not happened, but considering the previous recommendation from staff, current BCC staff finds the applicant's request to be approved.
Is that relative to the downgrading?
Yes.
Okay, great. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Zach Smith, architect, consultant for the property.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Response would be thank you, staff, for continuing to work with us, giving us a lot of time to work on what I think was the best outcome for the project, was to kill off the pool. So I really appreciate you guys pushing back on that, because I think it was the better outcome, and we were able to convince ownership of that. Outside of that, I think the what's been allowed to be retained by the staff and the things that we've agreed to remove, I think are a good outcome and have no objections.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? Or we do have a public comment from Aaron Holmes.
Well, that's for 810.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong property. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
I do not.
Okay. There's not much talk today. Do you have anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 1030 Dauphine Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1030 Dauphine, I move to approve and conceptually approve the proposed work as outlined in the staff report.
And is there a recommendation for downgrading the rating of the rear wall?
What I would like to do for that is to schedule an inspection to look more closely at those conditions and to see what we might be able to find from the 1995-96 renovation. And that's something that before making a recommendation for downgrade, I need to see exactly what was there to know what I recommend downgrading it to. And then that would be brought to the commission.
Great. Then I will accept the motion as made. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Next item is 810 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant? Do you have a staff report, please?
Sure. 808-810 Bourbon Street is a green-rated main building with a green-rated service building. This is a proposal to infill two existing windows located in the party wall, shared with 731-37 St. Anne Street. Replication materials received March 15, 2023 and May 9, 2023, respectively. This application was deferred at the March 28th Architecture Committee meeting to allow the applicant time to get a new survey, a letter from the neighbor, a statement of legal opinion regarding ownership of the wall, any evidence of previously existing shutters, and a revised detail to show the bars to remain. The applicant has submitted a new survey, but none of the other requested information has been submitted. The applicant stated that the owner reached out to the neighbor, but has not heard back. The new survey shows that the party line falls within the party wall with the window under review, with about 6.5 inches of the wall on the 810 property near the back of the property, and 5 inches of the wall within the property near the front property line. There have been instances where the VCC has reviewed new construction projects that would block or obscure openings or neighboring properties, but staff can think of no instance of a similar proposal to block an opening from a neighboring property solely for the purpose of removing it. Again, the guidelines state that the modification or addition of a window or door opening is discouraged, particularly in a more prominent building facade. This includes the infill of all or part of an opening to make it smaller or to remove it. Regarding the proposed method of infilling the openings, the applicant has stated that the owner would prefer the proposed installation of fixed, not operable shutters, but would settle for operable if those were to be approved. The guidelines prohibit the installation of fixed shutters, stating VCC requires installing shutters that are operable with the ability to open, and also VCC does not allow installing a fixed shutter. If operable wood shutters were installed, the question was raised regarding who would have the ability to operate the shutters, with the likely answer being that the shutters would be operated from the 810 Bourbon property and, based off the intent of the proposal, would be locked closed at all times. There is still the question of whether there is any evidence of previously existing shutters in this location. The guidelines note that the VCC does not allow installing shutters in a location where they would not have existed historically. Based off of VCC guidelines, staff cannot recommend the installation of shutters in this location without evidence of shutters previously existing here. Windows in the backs or sides of service buildings are atypical by nature, but staff again notes that these windows appear to have been documented as being in place for more than 125 years. Staff notes that although there may be civil issues regarding this proposal from the neighboring owners, the Architectural Committee reviews the architectural merits of the proposal only. Based off of the guidelines that shutters should not be installed where they would not have existed historically, staff recommends referral of the application until such evidence can be provided one way or the other.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation? You'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property.
Catherine Norman, L. K. Norman Architects.
And do you have a presentation or response to staff report?
Yes. Item by item, first one is that he did get a legal opinion, but it's not in writing, and it says the following. I am allowed to do anything I want with the party wall if I own half of it. So,
is there a name for that lawyer, opinion?
Excuse me?
Is there a name for that lawyer?
I don't have the name. I just found this out of one o'clock today. So, the lawyer said, he cited example 404 Notre Dame, which is in the CBD warehouse area, and the building next door, built a building, the block next door had a building built on it and blocked in all the windows, but that's not exactly the same situation we have here. And there is no evidence, unfortunately, of shutters having been there. There's no hinge marks in the jams or anything, so we can't prove that there ever used to be shutters. Fourth thing is the bars. I can easily revise the detail to show bars in it, but I'm thinking it's not going to matter. And my client has instructed me to get a decision, yes or no, on shutters today, if possible.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this matter? Erin Holmes, yes, please.
I'm Erin Holmes with VCPORA. I want to reiterate our opposition to this proposal. We know that at first it came in as bricking up and then adding shutters that would be fixed, of course, and then adding shutters that could be operable, and we were concerned about operable by whom. We do not approve of the idea that an adjacent property owner can deprive its neighbor of light and ventilation. So we're going to continue to ask that you deny this proposal and hope that our neighbors here can learn to coexist.
Thank you. Next is Nikki Zielinski.
Nikki Zielinski, 1011 St. Philip, French Quarter Citizens, reiterate everything Erin has just said, and want to point out once again, a party wall by state law, well actually it's called a common wall, is to the highest point of the lowest building. There is no building attached to this. It does not matter where the property line is, and in fact, the residential survey is only good for 12 inches either way, so that gives you 2 feet of leeway. So unless they want to buy half this wall at the current value, it is not a party wall, so they should not be able to do anything to it. I would suggest that instead, they perhaps consider putting a planting in front of it to provide themselves with some privacy.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Nope. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No questions. My only comment is that a number of these requested documents were ones that I requested at the last meeting, and I think without those documents, especially a legal opinion, but all and also a letter from the neighbor agreeing to it, I just don't see how we could approve such a proposal. And
the neighbor's not going to agree. He's pretty much got that vibe set in stone. The neighbor's not even answering him. I mean, they have altercation, if you will, initially. So the guy's not even answering. So
I think what we have instructed by legal is for you guys to make some sort of determination architecturally, and then they handle it civilly. So you say yes or no to the shutters or whatever, and then it's going to be a civil matter.
Okay. Then let's work our way back through shutters operable or not.
Or no shutters.
No shutters,
yeah.
Or bricking in the opening. What is the proposal that your owner has made?
Currently, it's the shutters, the wood shutters, but the client would rather brick the openings in.
I mean, I think that's pretty much.
But he'll settle for shutters.
Shutters would at least indicate that there are windows there. You know, kind of speaks. I mean, I'm not advocating that we approve it. I'm just saying that it seems like of the proposals, that one is the least invasive. You know, maintains the historic condition.
Yeah, I think if the adjacent property owner wanted to put shutters there, we might be able to entertain such a proposal. But that's not the proposal. We have a neighbor wanting to install shutters on their neighbor's building. Or at least that's how I am seeing it.
The property line goes right down the middle of the wall.
I'm not an attorney. I don't know the legal status of the wall exactly. And a letter stating that legal status would have been helpful today for us to be able to discuss.
Well, we have direction from the
From legal.
From the city, and we've been asked to make our judgment based entirely on architectural and not legal standards. So what I'll note is that property line windows are not unusual in the Vicarage. And that there's all sorts of precedents for them being opened, for them being closed, but almost always that's done with the agreement of both parties that are involved.
And, you know, our guidelines, or our jurisdiction doesn't guarantee privacy in a dense urban environment. So, I mean, I think most people that live in this situation have adjacent properties that have the ability to look into their properties. So it isn't necessarily something that we find the need to correct all the time.
And the staff notes in the report, the windows in the backs or sides of service buildings are typical by nature. But staff again notes that these windows appear to have been documented as being in place for more than 125 years. So they have major status in terms of architectural elements. Okay, would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
One more thing. Mm-hmm. These windows, if they were shuttered or bricked in, would not deprive the entire service wing of the neighboring property from light, because there's it's probably 10 feet wide or 12 feet wide is typically was designed back then. And there's rows of windows and French doors on the whole upper side. So it's not like they wouldn't have any light.
Thank you. Yeah. Is there a motion in the matter of 810 St. Philip Street? No.
Bourbon
Street.
Yes, in the matter of 810 Bourbon Street, noting that the applicant has requested a motion for either approval or denial today, I move to deny the proposal to install shutters or brick in these openings based on the staff report.
Would you be willing to amend your denial based on the applicant's failure to provide the requested documentation from the neighbor or an attorney as to the status of the window?
Yes, I accept that amendment.
And I'll second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion to deny passes. You can work with the staff for any appeals that you'd like to make to the full commission. Next matter is 817 St. Philip Street. Do you have an applicant present? 817 St. Philip.
It's a fairly straightforward retention application that we could proceed with.
Okay. Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 817 St. Philip is a green-rated main building and service L with a orange-rated detached service building. This is an appeal retaining awning and cloth backing on gate per application and materials received April 28, 2023. On January 31, 2022, staff inspected the property and observed a cloth backing added to the vehicular gate and a cloth awning installed on the inside face of the courtyard wall over the property's mailboxes. The design guidelines state that the VCC does not allow glass, plastic, or plexiglass applied to a fence or gate. And the older 1986 guidelines state that sheet metal, expanded metal mesh, and plastic baggings attached to metal gates are not appropriate as security devices or privacy. The guidelines also encourage maintaining glimpses of courtyards through fences and down carriageways. The fence and gate were built in the early 2000s when the property was sold and renovated, and the fabric backing was in place for the majority of that time, only briefly removed in 2021. While this installation was cited as work without permit, as it is not technically prescribed, does appear to be readily removable without modification of the gate. Staff cannot recommend retention based on the guidelines, but notes that the committee may consider retention allowable in this case. A small fabric awning was installed over the mailboxes on the inside face of the courtyard wall. With the fabric gate backing in place, the awning is minimally visible through cast iron panels of the pedestrian gate. Staff notes that this wall is not historic, so the method of attachment is of lesser concern. Guidelines suggest that awnings should have open sides, and an alternate material may have been suggested if it had not been installed without benefit of ECC review and approval. Staff does not object to retention of this small awning, but will remind the applicant that work should not be undertaken without permit.
And I'd like to add, just in conversation with the applicant, that the awning, the backing of the gate was removed as a circumstance of Hurricane Ida, so it was a temporary situation that we just happened to notice while it was removed or being replaced.
Got it. Okay. Is there any public comment in the matter of 817 St. Philip.
Nikki Savinsky, 1011 St. Philip, French Quarter Citizens. The fabric on the driveway gates, we have other properties that deny retention.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, there's no applicant present to say anything. Committee, any questions for the staff or a motion?
I don't have any questions for the staff. Would the chair like to make any comment before I make a motion?
Nope.
Okay. Sorry. Well, then I'll float this motion out there. In the matter of 817 St. Philip, I move to deny retention of the cloth gate backing and approve retention of the cloth awning for the life of that awning.
No second coming from me. You know, it would be helpful if the applicant were present to argue their case for this installation, since it is against the guidelines. I find their absence here to be kind of conditioning as to how we view it, because they just haven't spoken as to why they feel this is a necessary architectural change.
Well, they've spoken to us.
But they haven't spoken to us.
No.
But this is a commercial development. This is a condominium association, isn't it?
I don't believe so. It's a private residence.
There's one owner.
Okay.
And I will point out that it is directly across the street from Lafitte's, which is a block party every weekend. It's also next door to the Lafitte's Hotel. You know, it's on that corner.
But extensive renovation.
That's the Lafitte Hotel right there, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the previous motion failed to get a second. Is there a motion in the matter of 817 St. Philip Street?
Yes, I have a motion. In the matter of 817 St. Philip, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You know, in a matter of a violation, they need to come and speak on their own behalf rather than projecting that through the staff. The next matter on the agenda is 513 Conti Street. Thank you. You're here. Would you like to state your name and address?
My name is Thomas Posada, POSADA, 627 Mandeville Street, New Orleans.
Okay. We're going to hear the staff report, and then we'll move on to any comments you might have. Is there a staff report in 513 Conti Street?
Sure, 513 Conti is a green-rated building. This is an appeal to retain keypad door hardware installed without benefit of UCC review and permit per application and materials received May 9th, 2023. On 3/27/17, staff inspected the property and cited the unpermitted installation of a keypad on the Decatur side residential, that should say Conti side residential door. The committee reviewed a previous appeal to retain this hardware on September 10th, 2019. And move for denial of the retention of the existing hardware and for conceptual approval of the installation of new staff-approved hardware in the same location, with the work to be completed within 90 days. The applicant is once again appealing to retain the cited hardware, which is large, has pronounced mechanical buttons, and a livered handle. Staff also notes that its previous bronze finish is heavily deteriorated, revealing a shiny material, which appears to be aluminum or stainless steel beneath. Staff does not object to the use of electronic hardware in this location, but recommends a handle set with a Bluetooth key fob or covered or touchscreen keypad. If a lever is absolutely necessary for code compliance, which it should not be since the door swings in, it may be considered, but mechanical buttons are routinely cited and not found approvable by the committee. Several examples of appropriate hardware will be provided for the applicant based on similar models that have been approved in the district. Consistent with the committee's ruling on September 10th, 2019, staff recommends denial of the appeal to retain the current hardware but conceptual approval of replacement hardware in this location.
Thank you. You've stated your name and address. Do you have anything to say to the committee or to the staff?
The reason why this hardware was put on the door was when the renovation was made, we made it ADA compatible, everything inside. So the owner provided this hardware, so it would be handicap accessible or elderly accessible to the any resident that might move into the property. And as far as the deterioration, I think a lot of that happened during COVID when people just wiping the numbers, you know, cleaning everything, a lot of it got cleaned off. But we are more than willing to change the lock, but we basically put it on there for handicap accessibility and elderly accessibility.
Thank you. And are you part owner of the building?
I am their property maintenance guy.
Okay, yeah. Great. We have one request for public comment from Nikki Zielinski.
Nikki Zielinski, 1011 St. Philip. I know for a fact that this has been a short-term rental for probably 20 years.
This is not a short-term rental.
Okay, we're not talking about use today. We're talking about architecture.
This is not
let's
a short-term rental.
Get something more attractive.
And
there are
I see the hardware.
No, excuse me. We're not talking about use today. And you've agreed to change the hardware.
We will. We're willing to change it, but we need something more handicap accessible that could be approved for something like that.
I'm sure that...
Something without keys, something without knobs.
Right, absolutely. And
have
if you're...
A selection of electronic keypads, et cetera, that we have approved numerous times that we can provide.
Yeah, okay. So
and that, I believe, was provided by a previous inspector as part of the original appeal in 2019.
I was
going to
say,
not.
How many times has this been denied by the Architecture Committee?
Once.
But
so this was denied by you guys once already.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that?
2019.
And so we're back here with the same hardware. Can you schedule this for adjudication? Please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If
this is not,
I don't
know
why
we're
back.
Forward.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think today the way this works is you've agreed during this meeting to change the hardware,
sure will, yeah,
and what we're and to work with the staff to find the right thing. So what we're going to do is I believe we'll make a motion to deny retention of this hardware to give you the opportunity to install an appropriate set.
Sure.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 513? Conti Street.
Yes, in the matter of 513 Conti, I move to deny the appeal to retain the current hardware and conceptually approve the replacement of the hardware with new hardware to be reviewed and approved by the staff.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. I'll note that brings us to the end of the regular agenda for the Architecture Committee, the Recreate Commission. The next scheduled meeting is June 13th, 2013. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.